Welcome, everyone. I'm Ira Fuchs, the Executive Director of the Next Generation Learning Challenges, and I'm delighted to see that so many of you have joined us today. In fact, there are more people here than there were at the community. Oh, is this not on?
You may just have to project.
Do I have any control? Okay. So there are more of you here today than there were yesterday for the community briefing. So you may wonder, why did we call one a briefing and this one a discussion? Because this time, at the end, or close to the end, we're going to put some of you to work. And that's why we have all those nice whiteboards around the room. So if you're not prepared to help us, I don't know if you should stay, but so bar the doors. Today's session is a community discussion, and it's designed to introduce the key premises that are driving our work, but as I say, also to invite your feedback. On your campus, what are you doing to keep your students on the path toward completion? And what might we as a community do to put readiness and completion at the forefront of our institutional agendas? So the Next Generation Learning Challenges is a new initiative, as you all know, announced on Monday, to dramatically improve college readiness and completion in the United States through the applied use of information technology, especially for the benefit of low-income young adults. It is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and we are joined in this endeavor by three partner organizations: the League for Innovation in the Community Colleges, the International Association for K-12 Online Learning, INACOL, and CCSSO, the Council of Chief State School Officers. The big question is, why? Why has the Gates Foundation invested so much money in this initiative? And why are we at EDUCAUSE involved? It's about completion. It's not controversial in this room, I hope, to say that a college credential, be it a two-year or a four-year degree, has always been seen as an essential stepping stone to achieving the American dream: higher earnings, greater financial stability, and it's estimated that by 2018, jobs requiring a post-secondary credential will make up 64% of the workforce. For an increasing number of Americans, however, that dream is out of reach. By age 30, less than half of Americans have a post-secondary degree, and that number is even lower for low-income and minority groups. Just over half of those who do enroll will actually graduate, and as few as one-quarter of low-income students make it to the finish line. College readiness and completion has, perhaps unsurprisingly, become a central component of our nation's competitiveness and the long-term health of our communities. President Obama has stated his goal to have 60% of the U.S. population with a high-quality college degree or credential by 2025. And if we do not improve college completion, the Lumina Foundation estimates we will spend $16 billion per year in remediation, lost productivity, and increased demands on the criminal justice and welfare systems. So those are the facts. The statistics that we see reported in the news and taken alone, it might be easy to be discouraged. But we know that people in this room, I certainly believe that people in this room, have a history of innovation, a record of using information technology to improve our systems, our classrooms, and our wider institutions. So it's our goal within NGLC to leverage that ingenuity to help our students succeed in college and beyond. Now, why technology? Well, we believe that it can impact cost effectiveness. It makes it easier to share solutions, measuring outcomes, as well as enabling scale and implementation. Have I jumped ahead here?
No, you're fine.
Okay. I would guess that many of you are already leveraging technology on campus to help students engage more deeply and to get the help and guidance they need to complete their degree. You may notice that we've left some note cards on your tables. And if you have a solution that you might like to share with us and your peers, add it to the note card with your email address. We're searching for ideas to highlight on our wiki and our site, and we'll follow up with you. And, of course, I hope that many of those ideas will turn into pre-proposals, and if you are selected, ultimately for proposals. So what specifically will NGLC do? Our goal at NGLC is to generate a dialogue, fund innovation, and share results that focus on the ways that technology can facilitate change. Specifically, NGLC will focus on investment capital, evidence building, and community engagement. Now, as far as capital, the initial wave of NGLC is $20 million. So the press has been, in some cases, misreporting or at least leaving out a few words which make it difficult to understand how large a program this is. Wave one is approximately $20 million. Wave two, which will address secondary schools and college preparedness, does not have a number associated with it yet, but it is definitely multiple millions of dollars. And future waves will have their own additional funding. So the total program, who knows? We've defined the initial wave to have four challenge areas: blended learning, learner analytics, deeper learning and engagement, and Common Core courseware. Let me back up there 1 second. Oops. Can I go back? Previous. Sorry.
Just click previous.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay. I should say also that in terms of the size of the grants, all the first three areas, blended learning, learner analytics, deeper learning, and engagement, are grants that will be made up to $250,000 each. The Common Core courseware are grants that will be up to $750,000 each. And all of these grants are for roughly a one-year period. I think in the RFP states that they could be as long as 15 months. We're interested in terms of the OER, the Open Educational Resources, in particular on courses that tend to be the courses that determine or the best determinants for whether a student is going to persist, is going to continue, the gatekeeper courses. And there's a list of them in the RFP. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list, but algebra, calculus, biology, chemistry, there's a list in there, writing, and so on. They tend to be the courses that are intro courses. They're courses that student doesn't do well. They may simply not continue. The program is all about adoption. It's all about scale. The measure of success, at least during the grant period of the year, is can you get other institutions, have you managed to get other institutions to make use of your technological solution? It's as simple or as complex as that. Now, longitudinally, over longer periods of time, we are interested in whether your innovation is having an impact on the greater goals, which are stated in the RFP, in this case, primarily college completion, and we will require you to collect that data, and give us access to it, of course, but we are not going to measure success in the first year based on college completion because, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So those are the primary target outcomes that we're looking to have an impact on. And NGLC is also about building a body of evidence that can be shared with the community. How will the model be shared? What are the plans for sharing resources? And we need to be able to persuade people that OER is in fact viable. And there are some experiments underway now or some programs underway now. OLI at Carnegie Mellon is going to be launched, I believe, in the spring, if I have that correct, at four very large institutions, public institutions, which will do a test to see whether teaching statistics in the conventional way, which is not a blended model, versus teaching it with OLI, is which is more effective, how much more effective. Obviously, we have reason to believe, based on what's been done at CMU, that statistics courses can be taught in less time with equal or greater mastery of the subject matter. But to get another institution, and this is what it's all about, getting another institution to use these innovations, you have to provide evidence. You know, institutions don't just quickly make change, as we heard on Wednesday morning, and as we all know. And so the idea is to have a kind of A-B test that is being done with a large enough group of students so that others will see that this is in fact effective and effective at an institution similar to theirs. And that's what this particular one test is about. We are looking to build a large body of evidence that shows that whatever it is you're doing, in fact, will work for a wider group of users. This is some of the things we're looking for as part of the evidence that you might provide, and this is spelled out more in the RFP as well. I've said this, I guess, it was at the earlier session, but I think you may have already read in the paper, if you've seen any of the press releases, the timelines for NGLC are extremely short. The pre-proposal, which is essentially a form that you'll have to fill out, and if it were typed out, if it were printed out, it would probably end up being no more than 5-7 pages, perhaps, a set of questions that you need to answer that will help us to determine if, in fact, your technological innovation, your solution to improving college completion meets the criteria. That will be live on October 25th. Pre-proposals are due after the form goes live on November 19th. Finalists will be notified in January, and the final awards made in March. That means the money, the checks will be written roughly the end of March. That means that there isn't going to be a lot of back and forth, certainly not with any of the pre-proposal, any of the institutions that have submitted pre-proposals. But even when you get to the finalist stage of being selected as one of those that will submit a full proposal, there isn't going to be a lot of time for negotiation, for back and forth about your budget, and so on. So you'll need to get it right. That's important to understand, especially in the section relating to intellectual property, because my experience is that when lawyers get involved, timelines get elongated. So you better know early on that you are going to be able to make the intellectual property available according to the creative license, a Creative Commons license, the one that specifies attribution, CC BY. And if you know that your institution has never done that or refuses to do that for some reason, then either have those discussions before you send in a pre-proposal, or unfortunately you may not be able to qualify. So there's no negotiation on that point, even at the finalist stage. We are insisting on the CC BY license. So all the proposals are going to have to demonstrate how their model can be shared. The model fill in, you know, model may not be the perfect word, whatever it is that you are proposing to enhance or make available to others, how it can be shared with and implemented at other institutions, plans for sharing those resources, and other scaffolding materials, how-to documents, and so on, that you intend to produce or already have produced. And NGLC, as I said, is much more than a grant program. We hope it will be. It's only being launched now. We hope to elevate the conversation around IT's role in our nation's battle to improve college readiness and college completion. So for more about our community engagement efforts, I will turn to Carrie Page, who is our communications and community engagement manager for the project.
Okay.
Okay, now I know that most of you really just want to know the nitty-gritty of the RFP, how to get your hands on that money, and what you need to fill out in the pre-proposal. You're not going to get that in the rest of the session, but I will be providing you with the dates to our RFP webinars, and that's really where you're going to get the nitty-gritty. And one of those is next week, and one's the following week, and that's where we're going to really walk you through things. But you can go ahead and get a really good indication of that if you'll just go and download the RFP, which is on the site, and we will be providing you with that URL. But as Ira said, this is not just about the grants. We really believe that IT has a unique role to play in the college readiness and college completion agenda. We all in this room know that IT can help us make learning more flexible, can help us engage students in really new and creative ways. We can bring innovations to more students by using IT. So how do we help the nation by bringing our unique talents and opportunities to bear? Well, community engagement will be a part of NGLC. Some things to look for on the horizon. We will be doing more webinars. Did anybody here participate in our Back to Campus webinar series? Excellent, a few people. Well, if you did not, there are archives available on the website. We had some great people come in and talk about blended learning, talking about scaling innovation, so you can still watch those. And do look for more opportunities like that. We will be doing workshops at each of the EDUCAUSE regional conference and thinking about other ways to elevate this conversation, whether it's discussion sessions, leadership summits, white papers, any way we can to bring you into the conversation. And actually, we're going to start that today. Now, I know what's going to happen as soon as I tell you to start moving. You're all going to make a beeline for the door. But I do encourage you not to use this opportunity as a cover for leaving the session, because we do need help from you. NGLC is not about one wave of proposals. It's about multiple waves of proposals, all dedicated to college readiness and completion. We've told you the four areas which we're going to fund in this first round, but we need your help figuring out what other things we might fund in the future or what things you're doing on campus. So we are about to mess up this Herman Miller room. I'll put it back together, I promise. We're going to do something called a brainstorming carousel. Based on where you are in your room, I want you to migrate in a minute towards one of these whiteboards. And on those whiteboards, we have three barriers that we've identified to college readiness and completion. Student persistence, so keeping students on the path toward degree, keeping them engaged in their courses, and keeping them really engaged in the educational process. The costs of higher education. We all are doing more with less. Well, so are students. It's obviously a huge barrier to student success. And then student demands. And what I mean by that is the demands on student lives. So juggling jobs, juggling families, the different things that are competing for student time. So we've identified those three areas. And this is going to be fast and furious, don't worry. Once you move into your areas, we're going to give you, let's say, about 7 minutes in your collective group. Get to know each other really fast. And I want you to brainstorm things that IT can do to overcome those barriers. And then when you're done, we are going to rotate clockwise, so you will get to move to the next area and add your expertise there. So by the end of this session, we should have three whiteboards full of ideas for the future. All right, is everybody ready? And you can move the furniture if you want to, too, if you're really excited about your chair. You guys ready to move? All right, I need everybody to migrate into the three different areas. The door is not an area. And there are markers on your boards. Once you get there, start brainstorming.
So the top three for us were predictive analytics, obviously. I don't think I need to say more about that. Forming networks. IT can help students form networks to actual people, to peers, to faculty, to support service staff, to alumni. A lot of ideas up here captured, I think, broadly by that category. And the third was creating much more dynamic experiential learning, particularly with automated and valuable feedback to students.
Thank you very much. Excellent job, everyone, on the student presentation. All right, now our student demands.
First, universal single sign-on for American higher ed. Next, single concept mini lectures. We hear a lot about capturing live lectures. Students often find those tedious. We get about a 5-to-1 compression, and then you chop it up into single topics. And finally, social media. It says students need to be able to get together and build community on their schedule.
Right. I was the last minute substitution, so our first one was open. The idea kind of reducing costs for students through open text, use of open source software, e-textbooks, rentals. The other one was kind of consortium buying, so this idea that if we can buy in volume through a lot of things that we can reduce kind of institutional cost, which should translate to lower cost of student. And then the third one really, I think, was a mixture, which is this idea of if we have students who are not coming to campus, how can we give them opportunities to do, you know, work study, which is a great opportunity to make some money. So we talked about, you know, virtualizing their work opportunities. We talked about, you know, the programming one was very easy, but even people doing tutoring, maybe doing desktop conferencing for tutoring, which would not only give them an opportunity to work, but allow students who are also not on campus to get tutoring opportunities, which I know we talked about when we talked about student engagement as well.
Posting those pictures. So here are two URLs. I'm sorry, this side of the room. This is nextgenlearning.com. It's to the project site. That's where you will find the RFP and a lot more details. Educause.edu/NGLC. That's where you'll find background resources. And we are looking for volunteer reviewers to review grant proposals. So you will find that information on the Educause site. A quick reminder, these are the NGLC webinars. If you want those nitty-gritty details about the RFP, I highly recommend these. The URL there with the community and events is where you'll find the login information for those. And those are both Eastern Time. And then the RFP, you can see the link there, and then where the volunteer form is. Now, we do have a couple of minutes, so Ira, I'm going to let you do a couple of questions.
Sure. I will be happy to try to answer any questions you have. Of course, on the volunteer reviewers, you know, one of the giant unknowns with we have that as part of the process where we're going to get the pre-proposals. We have or will have constructed a challenge panel of experts who will review the proposals. But we, of course, need to go from the pre-proposal stage to the final to the full proposal stage and therefore winnow it down. But there's a giant unknown in there, a variable that we can't fill in, and that is how many pre-proposals are we, in fact, going to receive? We know how many grants we're going to fund, make, but we don't know how many pre-proposals. So how many volunteer reviewers we are going to need, I don't know. I hope a lot of you will either agree to be volunteer reviewers or know others that will, but in the end, you know, it could be that we only get 100 proposals. I hope that's not the case, or pre-proposals, in which case we probably won't need many volunteer reviewers. My guess is we're going to get a lot more than that. In fact, if I look at just the proposals that were sent in for the innovation initiative at the Department of Education, how many of those were sent in and how many were rejected. And even if a lot of those rejected proposals come our way, we're looking at potentially well over 1,000 pre-proposals. So, but that's an unknown. So, questions?
Sir, Pat. I'm kind of curious about the logic of the timing. In 3 weeks, I don't think we should take a year. I mean, I know a lot of federal grants are a year, but 3 weeks seems exceptionally short for us to run back to campus and try to do it.
We were sort of working backwards from when we thought we want to be able to see you do something, I guess it's in the spring of the following year, in that semester. So we're sort of living by the academic year, and we didn't want, if we moved it by a month, we would be moving it by 6 months. And that's what at least the Gates Foundation did not want to do. I mean, I can't say, having been with this program for 6 weeks, I didn't create the timeline, but it was really dictated by working backwards using the academic year and saying we wanted to see quick wins. And granted that there are going to be proposals that can't be made based on that timeline. That's just one of a lot of filters in terms of who we can fund. So it could be that wave three or wave two, which is being developed now, or wave three, or B
beyond will have different timelines, different length of grants. There's nothing to say that waves N plus one are going to look the same as wave one. But right now, we're starting out this way. We're starting out with a $20 million fund, and we're looking for relatively quick turnover. I agree, it is short.
Is it only meant to be the United States or also possibly Europe?
Good question. So is it only United States or is it possibly Europe? It is international, it is worldwide, but it has to be a proposal that shows how you're going to benefit college completion in the United States. So I don't know where you're from, but you know, if there's a university in Canada or France or England that has done something about college completion, they think it's a technological solution that would work elsewhere. They will partner and get adoption by institutions in the United States. They can be a grantee. Certainly can be international. But right now, we're not looking at trying to benefit, provide benefit for college completion in countries, other countries. It's the U.S. program of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, so that says it.
Is there going to be any attempt to ensure different sizes of institutions are going to be represented, small colleges as well as large universities?
I think a priori assumption that that is going to be a major criteria for the challenge panel, a challenge panel which has yet to be formed. The RFP certainly doesn't say that. I think it's realistic, or it is certainly a possibility, that in looking at a set of proposals that seem, on all other counts, equal, that they will try to provide for some diversity. But I think in the end, what we're looking for is a maximum benefit to the community in terms of adoption of a new existing but new to the rest of the world solution for improving college completion. There's nothing that says it's going to be a certain number of 2-year, a certain number of 4-year, a certain number of commercial, a certain number of other NGO, and so on.
Question about how narrow a definition of completion we're using here in the context of the proposal. Are we talking about very strict completion as completes the 4 years of a college education?
Or 2 years,
suppose. Or are we also looking at the extended definition of completion, namely somebody completes with a degree that is meant to give them an outlet into a particular workplace, in fact, not being able to find a job in that workplace because the degree has been ineffectual at providing the necessary qualifications for that workplace?
That's a probably longer answer than I can give you right now. I think you need to look at the RFP, but I'd say it's closer to the latter than the former, not slavishly saying that it has to be show that you have demonstrated completion in either 2 years or 4 years. But we are trying to have an impact on completion and on persistence, which leads to completion. So it's a little softer than maybe it sounded initially.
And Ira, I think we unfortunately have run out of time.
Sorry.
But the good news is that we have a Meet the Staff session directly following this.
East Central.
And down in Educause Central, so if you have additional questions, there is some time for follow-up. But thank you, everyone, for your participation today.
Thank you.